First Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Brothers, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings.
Good morning. Happy to see all of you here in our worship together. Glad to see all you visitors that you've come our way to join us in our fellowship, in our worship, as we strive to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So glad to see you all here this morning. Hopefully that you're not thinking about the Super Bowl, that your mind is concentrated over here in worship.
Is that today?
Okay. When Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, as stated well two Sundays ago, that when I preached that sermon, they sinned and were cast out of the Garden of Eden. That sin caused them to be separated from the Heavenly Father. But then God placed a curse on Satan, who had caused and deceived Eve in sinning, and then, of course, Eve turned around and Adam had taken the same fruit. But there was a curse that God had placed on that serpent, in which He had told them that you shall now will walk on your belly and you shall be cursed on the ground of the earth. But then He said this too, that there'll be a conflict between the seed of the woman and Satan himself, and that conflict between God and Satan continued up to this day. It'll be a battle between Christ and between Satan. That Christ will achieve the victory, as we know that He will have that victory, but He won't achieve that victory without being bruised, and He'll be bruised by His heel, but at the same time He will crush the head of Satan. Satan is real. I believe him to be real because the Bible tells me that Satan is a real individual, that he will try to take as many as he can towards him and for him, and then take him away from the grace of God, or take us away from the grace of God, in order that we do not enjoy the blessings that are found in heaven. See, today begins the second month of the year, so we've got 11 months of this year. And during this year, as in any year and any day, we continually will face evil because we live in a crooked and perverse generation, according to Paul when he wrote Philippians 2. See, Satan is the prince of the world. Satan is the world ruler of darkness. And if that's the case, then you can see that the world is overtaken by Satan, and is the few, the Christians, the one who accepts Christ and who accepts God and walk in faithfully, can defeat Satan. He's an enemy of God, and I got to consider him to be an enemy, and he's a vicious enemy. And is an enemy that can deceive, because he deceived Eve, and then Eve sinned. So like the passage of scripture that was just read, he's a roaring lion that seeks the destruction of each one of us. So this is a battle that we face, and you and I will have to realize that this is a battle. In 2 Peter, the second chapter, verse 4, as well as what it stated in Jude, the 6th verse, it states in those passages that Satan is a fallen angel that rebelled against God in heaven. And because he was defeated in heaven, he was cast down upon the earth. And now he tempts and deceives all those who are here upon the earth. The best description of that is found in Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 7 and 10, between the battle of Michael the archangel and Satan himself. So when I look and turn to this 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, it said this: there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven, and the great dragon was thrown down. The serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And so now he's the world ruler of darkness upon this earth. But he was defeated in heaven by Michael the archangel. And then as I read throughout this whole chapter, victory will still be ours if we are faithfully walking in according to the gospel or in according to the ways of Jesus Christ. We'll achieve that victory. See, Satan's great power, in his great ability to deceive, his great power is in his subtleness in causing men to sin and follow after him. See, Christ says, be not afraid of the man that can cast your body, you know, or destroy your body. But you be afraid of the one that can cast your soul and body into hell, and that's Satan. He can cast you. So now we know that there's no place for Satan in heaven. He'll never get to heaven because he'll be destroyed eventually. I look in John, the 8th chapter, verse 44. It tells me who Satan is over there, or what the description is in verse 44 of John, the 8th chapter. And he said, "You are of your father, the devil. You want to do the desires of your father, and he was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. And whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he's a liar and he's the father of lies." That's the description given by Jesus Christ to his disciples in regard to this man, to this individual, that's Satan. He's the evil one, according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. And in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, he's also called the evil one in that particular chapter. And so therefore, he perverts the truth to lead to falsehood. He can use scriptures, and in the use of scriptures, he can use scriptures to deceive you or me, because he did that when he tried to tempt Jesus Christ in 3 points, and in each time Christ would answer whatever scripture that Satan quoted, Christ was able to counter that scripture, because in the case of Satan, it was misapplication of those scriptures. So just because someone would quote a scripture, and so just because someone would read a scripture and tell you this is what it teaches, you be aware, because those things was used by Satan already in trying to deceive our Savior Jesus Christ. He's the tempter, according to 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verse 5, and he will tempt all of us, you and me, in regard to sinning. There are 3 things that are evil in the world. All that's in the world, according to the Apostle John in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verse 15, when he says, "Love not the world, nor the things of the world," because all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So Satan used this in his deception of the things that appeal to me through my lust, through my desires, in order that I sin. I know James says that no one, you know, that God can't tempt anyone, and no one is tempted of God. And so because of that, he tells me that I'm tempted by myself. How? Within the lusts that are within me. But those lust, like in the case of Eve, that fruit of good and evil, it was good to see to the eyes of Eve. Yeah, not only good to see, good to eat. And not only that, it will cause one to be wise. And therefore, Satan had used that fruit as a means of causing Adam or causing Eve to sin against God. He uses that in deception, in deceiving, in subtlety. And if I read in 2 Corinthians the 11th chapter, verse 13 and 15, maybe we'll get a better look at the fact of what Satan does and what he wants to do in causing us to join him in the sins against God. In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, this is what Paul had stated. What I am doing, I will continue to do, he says in verse 12. I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. Such men, he says, are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And he says, no wonder. For even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And so therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. So Satan wears many disguises just so he can get us to be on his side by the use of these deceptive devices or deceptive disguises that he puts on. I must be aware of the fact that he's my constant enemy at all times. I look further on about this thing about Satan. Yeah, that Satan will work through different individuals to cause me to sin. He'll work through different institutions to cause me to sin. He'll cause me to sin by working through governments, as I can see in our government over here, the passing of abortion, the gay rights, and all of that. Those are all things that are contrary to the Word of God, contrary to what God teaches, and Satan uses governments to do those things in order that you and I be swayed towards his side. See, when I read the whole book of Revelation, the dragon is Satan. But you have two beasts, the beast of the sea and the beast of the land, and you've got Babylon. All three are allies of Satan, and those three represent one, represent religion, represent government, and the third one, Babylon, represent immorality. It's those three that are constant danger to the Christian, and I must be aware of the fact that those three are seeking for me to sin and fall, you know, away from God and away from the grace of God. False religion, idolatry, denominationalism, all of those things are what? Contrary to what the Word teaches. Governments work that way in regard to passing laws that are not in accordance to the gospel, and you find immorality that's rampant in our world today, in our society today. We're not a moral people. We're immoral. Yeah? That's why Paul had called this place the crooked and perverse generation, because it's a moral, immoral world. So many times you will read, like in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1 Thessalonians 3, he tells me to flee from sexual immorality. He tells me, you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, immorality. And yet those three things are what Satan uses to cause me to sin. I read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, this is what, again, I see in regard to the work of Satan, that shows forth of the efforts that are being put out by Satan and by his followers. It said this, even if our gospel is veiled in verse 3, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the glory, the light of the gospel, rather, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So he prevents people from seeing the gospel. He prevents people from understanding and knowing what that gospel plan of salvation is, that through that gospel I can be made free and made free from the bondage of sin. And yet Satan is out there trying to prevent me, or trying to prevent the unbelieving from seeing what that gospel is all about. And so when I look at this, I must understand what the work of Jesus Christ in regard to Satan. I know that the passages of Scripture says that Christ came to seek and to save the lost. That's Luke 19:10. That he came to give himself a ransom for many. I read that too. In which he shed his blood and became a minister rather than to be ministered unto. But I read in chapter 2 of verse 14 of the book of Hebrews, in which the Hebrew writer is writing about the superiority of Jesus Christ, that he's better than all of that which is represented in the law of Moses. And so he said this, or Hebrew writer wrote this in verse 14 of chapter 2. He had stated, since the children share in flesh and blood, that Christ himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death, he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. What's his work? The work of Jesus Christ here upon the earth is to render Satan powerless. So Satan has no power over me so long as I'm covered by the blanket of faith in Jesus Christ. As long as I'm within the confines of the protection of my Savior, Satan will not have a hold in me. And yet, so many of us go beyond the chains of the binding of Satan. And that's why we got caught in sin. I want to say this about Satan. Satan is not divine. Understand that. He's not God. Satan is only a created being. He's been created like God has created the heavens and the earth, like God has created you and me. Well, he's created Satan. Satan is a created angel that rebelled against God and fell down from heaven. He was defeated by Michael the archangel, and so he's roaming upon the earth over here. Just like what Job, in the case of Job, when God said, what are you doing, Job? I'm roaming all over the earth. What for? To seek those that he might devour. Okay. One, so Satan is not divine. Satan may be superhuman, but he's not divine. Satan is a created being. Satan's power is circumscribed. So because Satan's power is within only a limited space and limited time in which finally he'll be cast into the lake of fire, then I can know the fact that I can defeat Satan because the heavenly God himself, Christ and the Holy Spirit, will help me defeat Satan. Okay? I'm not to be afraid of Satan, yet a lot of us are. I know in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, it says Satan and all his what? Followers will be cast into the lake of fire, and then we will achieve the victory that's in Christ. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, not only to render Satan powerless according to what we read in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, but reading in the epistle of John in the 3rd chapter, this is what John had written in regard to Satan and in regard to what Christ will do. So in verse 8 of chapter 3, he says this. The Son of God appeared for this purpose. He appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews says he will render Satan what? Powerless. This one says he will render and destroy the works of the devil. That's what he'll do. When Christ on his last speech before the apostles in chapter 14, 15, and 16 of John, he had to comfort the apostles. One of the ways he comforted the apostles in which he told the apostles, I'm leaving you. I'm going to leave you alone. He said, well, no. He said, I'm leaving you. But when I leave you, he says, I'll send the Holy Spirit to you, and he'll guide you into all truth. He'll teach you all things and cause you to remember all that I've said unto you. He will convict the world. And he said that to the apostles. But this is also what he said to the apostles regarding Satan. He told the apostles, Satan has already been cast out. He's talking already in terms of Satan has already been cast out, because in a few days he's going to be arrested, going to be crucified upon the cross, and then he'll be raised from the dead. But Christ said, Satan is already cast out. He also said in John the 14th chapter 3rd, he said, Satan has nothing on me. Satan has nothing on me. He also said, Satan has already been judged. And the sentencing will come later when he'll be judged and when he'll be cast into the lake of fire, and you and I will be victorious over sin and over Satan. See, the only deliverance that I have that's given to me is the truth of the word of Jesus Christ. See, Christ told his disciples, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, he talks about how that truth, which is the word of truth, and he says, the gospel which you have received, and since the day you heard the gospel, you've been increasing in your fruit bearing, and you've been increasing in your faith. What did it? The truth of the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So only deliverance that I have from the power of Satan and from the bondage of sin is the truth that shall make me free. Now I go back to this 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and read again over these passages that was read earlier. So here's what it says in regard to Satan. It says, the fact of he's like a roaring lion. He prowls around the earth. He's seeking someone to devour. But it tells me in verse 9, I can resist Satan. James, the 4th chapter, has also said this. You resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That means if the devil sticks with me, I didn't resist hard enough. I didn't put enough effort to resist him, because James says if I resist him, he will flee from me. Then I can cast him away from me. Yeah. The other way, of course, is what Paul had said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10, in which he says there's no temptation that comes upon you that you can't bear. You'll be able to face and bear any temptation. But if that temptation is so great, then he tells them, you flee from temptation. You run away from it. So I got two ways. I can resist if I have the power to resist, or I can just run away. Yeah? Run away. So that Satan will not have anything against me. And so he says that you resist him. You be firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren. So you can resist the devil. You can fight the devil, and you can be doing it by the standpoint of what Ephesians 6, verse 13 and 14, in which the Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesian Christians, in regard to the warfare that you and I are waging here upon the earth against Satan and all of his evil forces, he had stated, you take up the full armor of God. You will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, you can stand firm when you put on the whole armor of God. Okay. So many of us, like, you know, when David was facing Goliath, And he was the one that went to King Saul and said to King Saul, King Saul, I'll go and face Goliath. All right. So King Saul, what did King Saul do? He tells David, David, take my armor. So David puts on the armor of Saul, takes up the sword of Saul, and he found out that this armor is too big for me. I can't fight with this armor. And the second thing he said is, this sword is too heavy for me. I can't wield that sword. How can I defeat Goliath with that sword? So he took out all the armor, took out and gave the sword away. What he did, he just had a sling and some smooth stones, and with it he was able to use that sling better than using the sword in killing and, of course, slaying Goliath. Why I said that and used that as an illustration? Because you and I have an armor of God, and every armor that I put on in according to what Ephesians 6 will fit me just right if I would use that armor correctly. It will be able, I will be able to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'll be wearing that breastplate of righteousness. I'll gird myself with truth, and my feet will be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It'll fit me perfectly. Then I can go out and stand firm and resist the devil, and with that shield of faith, cast off all the fiery darts of the evil one. Paul says, I can do it. Yeah. Paul says, not only can you do it, you can do it because of the fact of what he has stated in Ephesians, the second chapter or third chapter, in which he gives comfort to the Ephesian Christians by saying this, now to God, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church, in Jesus Christ, to all generations forever and ever. And in one short verse of Philippians 4:13, Paul has stated, I can do all things in him that strengtheneth me. My armor of God will fit me, providing I use it, providing I will make the best of it, and that armor of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It takes study. It takes giving diligence to show myself approved unto God, that I'll be a workman that won't be ashamed, that I'll be handling accurately the word of truth. So you put on the whole armor of God. Yeah. And in order for you to use that armor of God and it will fit you, it will take constant effort in your learning and studying what that armor of God is all about. Okay. Temptation will have no effect on me. Yeah. Or I should say, if temptation comes, I'll be able to overcome it by my alertness, by my soberness, by my watchfulness, by the use of this armor that I have in constant battle against evil in the world I live today. Extend the invitation to any one of you. We want you to become a Christian. Only as a Christian, you're within the bounds of safety. Only as a Christian, you have that fellowship, or you have that strength that are found in Jesus Christ. Only as a Christian, you become a member of the Lord's church and a citizen of that great kingdom of God. And that it begins with my accepting Christ as the Son of God, my Savior, my Redeemer, and believing in him as that Son of God, I will repent and turn away from the things of evil. Turn aside to Christ, repent, be baptized for the remission of my sins. When I put them on in baptism, buried in water, and raised to walk in newness of life, I become a new creature. The old things are passed away. They become new. And one of the things that I'll receive when they become new, you know, I'll receive that armor of God. I have the picture. See, my Super Bowl. I have the picture of all these players going to the locker room and all of them giving their uniform and their armor of shoulder pads and hip pads and helmet to go out in battle. Well, we have that armor ourselves to go out in battle in the world outside. We stand and sing this invitation song.